When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the coaches meeting. That's the coach at BangBang49 on Twitter. I'm Grant Cohn. Title of today's show is the top story heading into OTAs. Next week is rookie minicamp, so we'll be able to see Tanner Mordecai and Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. We'll get our first look at all of them. That'll be interesting. But after that OTAs will start, and it's going to be different this offseason. The past few offseasons, it was quarterback controversies, Trey Lance, is he getting a fair shot? Is he making strides? Is he better? Can he throw a spiral? All that kind of stuff. That's done. And I think it's a little bit like more up for grabs what the top storylines will be. So we're going to go maybe storyline by storyline and try to pick out maybe five or six of the top ones in terms of players and big picture stuff as well. Coach, I think it still starts with the quarterback, though. Brock Purdy in his third season, not coming off an injury. Playing for a big freaking contract.
Yeah, I do. I mean, right now I believe that Brock has got a full offseason ahead of him. He's got everything in the world at his disposal as far as his teammates, the coaching staff, this being in the scheme for multiple years, not only being in the scheme for multiple years, but bearing that out over a full season. One could even say when he came in at his rookie year that he really didn't have the full menu of what the scheme could do. Even when you get in the playoffs, you know, a lot of teams don't know you. Teams know Brock. And he actually went through the playoffs, went all the way through the Super Bowl and played admirably. Right. He didn't play his best, but he wasn't the reason why we lost that game. Not even close. So right now I could see Brock coming in and basically adding potency onto what he's already been doing as far as being a leader with the team. So there's a possibility for him to really grab this thing by the horns. And by the time it's even a question of him getting paid, there should be no question. That's how Brock would want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, every year there's a player who's like going into a contract year who has a great season or a great offseason. And last year it was Ayuk. He was great in OTAs, training camp, and the regular season, and it carried over. And that's why he's going to get paid a lot of money. He just had this all-pro season, and I'm curious to see if Purdy can do that. Last year he was pretty bad in training camp. He didn't do OTAs. He didn't do mini camp, and then he was on a pitch count, and he was going against a great defense, and he was coming off an injury, and he was trying things and seeing what he could get away with and all that stuff, which was legit because he ended up playing great during the season. I'd like to see if he could take his game up another level and just light this defense up. He's seen it before. He's got a great offense around him. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what he does in training camp, but if you're trying to get that contract worth $55 million a year, you usually show up and prove it every single day like Ayuk did last year. Or Bosa has in the past. So I think that's kind of what I expect from. I expect Purdy's going to light it up in these practices.
Well, that's the mark of somebody that's really trying to take over, right? Like when BA came in, I mean, notwithstanding, like, all right, look, the last year that BA came in this year, you know, he was pretty much like the man in the arena. Like everybody knew that he was the guy. But before that, you saw the progression, right? Nobody was necessarily surprised, but everybody was just in awe that he put it together and they were happy that he actually took the next step. That's what we're going to be looking for from Brock, taking the next step, right? There's other players here that we thought they could do things with this team that did not pan out. Defensive guys, offensive guys. And the problem is that one thing that you can't say, for better or for worse, with this team is that in order to be able to get on the field with this team and to get paid, you have to be consistent. You have to have something about your skill set that can be relied upon, especially by Kyle and being on that offense, right? And with being the quarterback, if Kyle can rely on Brock to be consistent and to be at a high level to be consistent, right? Not consistently mid, but consistently good. That's exactly what Kyle has wanted. And that just leads me to something else as far as like with Kyle. Like This is also a referendum on Kyle finally admitting the type of quarterback that he needs for this offense, not the quarterback that he wants, okay? Not the quarterback that he could scheme the best things for, but somebody that can actually ingest his entire scheme, do what you need to do, but then also add more onto it with their own skill set in the mark of a guy like Brock Purdy. So right now, Brock getting paid is going to be significant, and it's going to signify to a lot of things that we've been waiting on this team and things that we're going to be able to see very clearly. This isn't going to be a, should he get paid? Shouldn't he get paid? No, like we're going to know when it's time.
Yeah, and I just think there's going to be more pressure on him this year. And he's done great under pressure his whole career. I'm just curious to see how he does under new pressure, because at first, it was like, make the team. And he did. And that was incredible. But there wasn't a lot of like scrutiny on him. And the next year, last year, it was like, show that you can throw a football. Show that your elbow works. So for a while, the bar's been low for him. But now he's coming off an MVP season. He was just in the Super Bowl. He played pretty well in the Super Bowl, and he's on the doorstep of getting one of the biggest contracts ever. So there's just way more scrutiny on him. The bar is higher, and I think we all expect him to rise to the occasion because that's all he's ever done in the NFL. But this is a big hurdle.
I'm glad you closed out with that, because I was going to give you a little pushback, Grant.
I fully expect him to rise to the occasion. I'm actually looking forward to watching him do it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and me too. I'm in the same camp. Like he's done more than just stayed consistent. Like he's been lights out through a lot of the ebbs and flows of this team, right? When the defense wasn't giving us what we needed at times, when offensively we needed Christian McCaffrey to to be consistent for us. I mean, quite honestly, if it wasn't for Brock's consistency, we would not even be able to see the issues with the team. I feel like in certain ways, one thing that Brock has in spades over any quarterback that we've seen on this team is he's been able to kind of stay out of the fray of like blaming, right? Like, oh, this was all Brock's fault, right? And in a way, his consistency has shown that the offensive line does need to get better. Do we really need Deebo Samuel, right? Oh, they had like, one thing that we notice is that everybody talks about the targets that Deebo had, right? But nobody is saying, well, Brock couldn't get him the ball. Everybody's putting it on Deebo to get open. And it's the consistency that you get from Brock where you're able to point those things out.
One more thing with Brock. I'd like to see, it's not just that he needs to play well in camp or that interceptions in camp matter. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'd like to see him take ownership of the team. And I think it starts now. It starts with how you practice. And if you want to say it's my team, then you can't be the guy throwing two picks a day. Like Brandon Ayuk is too good in practice. Christian McCaffrey is too good. And I think Purdy's that good. This is going to be his team. It should be his team now. And this is his opportunity to take it right now with his performance on the practice field consistently. Show everyone that you're the man. Like, because when they won the NFC Championship, they didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, they were posing for the picture all together. He was off on the side. You know what I mean? It was like Deebo in the middle, Trent in the middle, little Brock Purdy, the quarterback, all over there. Like, nah, man, you're front and center now.
Yeah. You're the guy.
You're the guy. Show it every day. Okay, so Brock Purdy will be big storyline, but the Brandon Ayuk thing is still going to hang over this team until he gets the extension. And I don't expect him to get it during OTAs. So part of what we're going to be talking about, can't lie, as journalists, content creators, whatever you want to call us, the next few weeks is, where's Brandon? Is Brandon coming? Is Brandon working out? Is Brandon thinking about the 49ers? Did he write them a letter? That kind of stuff. The Brandon Ayuk saga, where do you expect this to go?
Well, I do expect Brandon to be professional, because that's the platform on why he believes he should get paid, right? You can't shirk on the very issue why you believe you should be paid, right?
He does everything right. You do everything right. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you can't be the guy that says, I'm the most professional. I show up to everything. I work as hard as I do outside of what I'm asked to do. And I'm a leader. And then all of a sudden, coincidentally, cast all of that to the side once you don't get your money. That's almost kind of like, well, what did you do it for then? Right. So I expect him to show up and do exactly what he's supposed to do. As a matter of fact, I expect him to show up and actually kind of let the Niners know that they need to pay him or else, right? You know how the
league is. When you say you expect him to show up, you expect him to practice?
Yeah.
When you say you expect him to practice, like you say that like a coach would say that, or like you like actually would bet money that he's going to practice in OTAs? Like, yeah, he should. Like, when you say I expect him to.
Yeah, I like the way you slowed me down.
I don't expect that at all.
You slowed me down. Okay.
I do not expect him to be there in OTAs.
All right. I don't expect him to be there at OTAs.
Okay.
All right. I do expect him to be there for a reporting day of camp. I expect him to be there for that. So, yes. Thank you for slowing
me down. Would he, like, hold in and, like, be like, look, I'm here. I'm a team player. I'm a leader. And I want to be in the meetings, but until you give me an extension, I'm not practicing. Didn't TJ Watt do that a few? It's called a hold in.
Nick Bosa didn't. But one thing about it is that professionally, if I was like around Brandon, I would let him know, like, all right, look, if we're kind of having a coup right now, right? Because this is let's make no mistake about it, brother. The money that you want is going to kill your man. Debo got to go. All right. So you need to virtue signal towards everything that you can that you are the leader of this team. So you got to come to practice. All right. You got to show up to camp and hold on. And whatever you do, your behavior in getting your money cannot mimic what this guy did. You can't. And that's what, go ahead, Grant.
Okay. So as Brandon Ayuk's, agent. I'm his agent today. He didn't pay for me. Just like the Niners don't pay for my quality control. I'm his agent today.
They owe us so much money.
Hold on. Wait a second. Nick Bosa held out last year. No one said anything about him. He's a freaking captain. He held out. He and the 49ers didn't agree to an extension until September 6th. September 6th. I know it feels like a long time ago, but no one said anything about Bosa's professionalism. Everyone just is happy that he's there. Now, my client may not be Nick Bosa, but he is talking about money upwards of $30 million a year. So this is a serious, serious football player, and this is a serious, serious extension, and it might take some time. So give us some time over here. We're working on it. September 6th. That's what happened with Nick. It's true.
Spoken like a true agent.
You know what I'm saying? I got to advocate for my guy over here.
I would not agree with that at all. I don't agree with that at all, man. First of all, you don't have this is business, all right? Okay. You're a 1099 guy. Right now, that's employee talk, what you're talking about right now. He got to do it, but why come I don't get to do it? That's something that you talk to HR about. There ain't no HR department in this shit. I'm sorry, bro. Like, for me, you got to look at your cachet with the team, right? Mm-hmm. And his connection with the team is not the same relationship that Nick Bosa has with that team, okay? Nick Bosa is a legacy kid whose family is an institution. And, hold on.
Nick Bosa wasn't all pro last year like my client was.
All right, and then also, Nick Bosa isn't the fourth option on an offense where he can get gaslit about his productivity. And on top of it, then we can get nasty. We can start going into, it hasn't always been consistent, Brandon. I mean, we did have that year where we really had to show a little bit of compassion to get you on track. You know, just work with us here, Brandon. You know, there was a swath of time where, you know, you being a leader was definitely in question as far as your professionalism is concerned. So we're glad that you're here now.
Yeah, but you sort of trying to prop up Debo Samuel as a captain and a leader sort of undermines whatever high standards you're holding my client to, because this guy, I mean, he's not in shape like my client. He's not consistent like my client, but right. but yet he's a captain and he gets the big extension. No, I think my client's going to be, he's going to be in Miami in August, working out, really saying it's because you know how Brandon is. He's always in shape. You don't got to worry about Brandon. Debo, of course, you got to monitor him. You want to watch him daily. But Brandon, he's kind of like Nick. He's going to be in shape.
Right.
So, we'll see like early September, maybe week two.
What I would say to that is, duly noted, bringing up other players to the negotiation table does nothing for you.
Well, this is how I do. I don't play. I play dirty. I'm sorry. This is how I got where I got in life.
Okay.
As an agent.
Having conversations with us about teammates is not the way to go. Secondly, Miami, please. You have you locked in stock for 1 year at least, and then we can franchise you to what we feel like is $21 million per. And then we may feel like we can let you go. So we can drag this out for two whole seasons if you really want to go to Miami. What I suggest you do is take a seat back, right? Just sit back, talk to your client, all right, and let him know how this conversation has gone today. And, you know, maybe we can get back to having a fruitful and conversation that's based in reality. Right, because you can't go to the negotiation table talking about Debo. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna go tweet at Brandon. You can say, "Guy, I figured it out. I worked it out for you, man. Don't worry, you're gonna get this extension any day now."
I don't think so, dog. Like, I think they're gonna get it handled. They gotta pay him. They're gonna pay him. I just think, you know, the writing's on the wall. They're gonna pay him, but they gotta move one of them, and it may be. I hate this, but it may be Juwan. You know what I'm saying? So. It may be Juwan or, you know, because I don't think anybody's really going to bite on Debo without, you know, the league, it's a bunch of, just look at all 32 teams like a bunch of, like, men with masculine issues. And it's just like, as soon as somebody takes on Debo, right, the rest of the league is going to be like, you took on that contract? You let them off the hook? Like, that's what you did? Knowing that they were shopping this guy? This guy is like an 06 Bentley. Like, it's over. Ain't nothing in this thing. It's over. So,
well, look, before the Niners potentially trade any wide receiver, Jennings, Ayuk, Debo, they're going to have to get a real good look at their first round pick. And everyone's going to want to know what this guy looks like starting next week in rookie minicamp. Ricky Pearsall is a really big storyline. He's a first round pick. He's going to be 24. He's not a project. He plays a sexy position. He's the kind of, I mean, the kind of position where you can produce and make headlines in practice. And if you don't produce and make headlines in practice, that's a headline. I mean, he's in AJ Jenkins' position. Mm-hmm. Not saying he's AJ Jenkins, but everyone wants to know, dude, were you worth the first round pick? Because no one thinks he was. Right. Kyle thinks he was. Right. So is Kyle and Ricky against the world on this one? Like, are you the truth? Everyone's going to want to know. And there's going to be like a quick, it's not going to take too long to see if he can win.
It's not going to take too long.
Yeah.
Nah, we'll know by camp. We'll know by camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll know by camp. And really, that's the biggest thing that I see from him is that just the physical aspect of him, which he plays. Mm-hmm. When he can run, he's good to go. I mean, he's highlight ready. He plays to his speed. But when he gets hands on him, I just want to be able to see him be as dynamic as I've seen at time. That's the only thing that I can really say about what I've seen from him thus far, because I haven't seen much. I've just seen tape. I'm not going to be one of these guys touting as if I've watched this guy since Arizona State. Like, I haven't. But what I have seen is that when he is special, when he is dynamic, he's redlining. Meaning that you could tell that he's giving as much effort as he can at that moment to be able to do something special. But like his modus operandi, like his day-to-day me going through an offense, he's going to need to get schemed open. And he can be a weapon. And when he catches the ball and open in space, I can see all of that stuff working. But as far as like if we think that we got another guy that can go eat on his own, if Ricky Pearsall played in the Super Bowl, right, we still would have lost that game. Like, if they would have just taken another corner, put him on Ricky Pearsall, and he would not have gotten open.
That's what I want to see. Like, in these camps, I think we'll be able to see, well, maybe not right away, but what does Ricky Pearsall look like against Tre'Davious White?
Yeah.
What does Ricky Pearsall look like against D'Amador Lenore? Like, Tre'Davious White, maybe he won't be able to beat Tre'Davious right away, because Tre'Davious is an all-pro or a Pro Bowl cornerback. D'Amador Lenore is not. I mean, I think D'Amador is very good. But what can you do against Lenore? Because if you can't beat Lenore, there's probably 30 cornerbacks in the NFL who are better than him. So yeah. Right there, he's a number two corner. So right there, you got a problem. If you can't beat D'Amador Lenore, because you know who can? Brandon Ayuk. So I want to know.
Yeah, I just want to go see if he can go eat on his own. That's all. Yeah. If he can go and get press man coverage and get locked in and go get the ball, go get open on his own, not have corners run routes for him, be able to outrun guys, catch balls at the highest point consistently. So those are some of the things that, you know, we're going to have to be able to see. And then to be honest, like these are some things that you would look to see from like a later round pick where if we would have got like a Javon Baker in the fourth round or something, it would have been like, all right, well, let's see if all of that stuff that he's doing in college translates. Right. But when you get picked in the first round as a receiver, there's a level of consistency that is expected from you as a first round receiver in the NFL. Like whatever you do, you got to be able to do that at will. So if you're a high point guy, if you're a route guy, if you're a speed guy, if you're a dynamic, you know, in between the hashes guy, whatever you do, that's got to be something that you call on at will. So that's what I want to see from Ricky Purcell, is that he's incredibly polished. He got through through his entire college career, but I want to see what his calling is going to be. What's his calling card going to be professionally? Not his role in this scheme, but what is he going to be able to bring to the table versus where people see Brandon Ayuk and they're like, dude, his route running, his catch radius and his feet are unreal. You look at Deebo Samuel, you're like, dude, yard after the catch, whatever is happening with Deebo, he can pull that out of his back pocket. That's what he does, right? So with Ricky Purcell, I mean, as a first round draft pick, I'm going to need to see, like, what is elite about you?
Yeah, and what's cool about this setup this offseason, maybe it's why the Niners took him in round one, more than I think about it. We were just talking about Ayuk, and I'm over there, you know, role-playing his agent, saying this guy really, don't be surprised if this drags on until September 6th, if he's not even on the initial 53-man roster, that all could happen. So if that's the case, if Brandon Ayuk could be gone for a while, then Ricky Purcell could get first team reps in OTAs, in mini camp and training camp, because Ayuk potentially won't be there. And Jennings is basically a slot receiver. So all of a sudden, we could be seeing Ricky Purcell against D'Amador Lenore every day. That would be very interesting. Instructive.
It's going to be good work. It's going to be good work.
Absolutely. And
that's what I want to see from the kid. I mean, he's a rookie. You're a first round draft pick coming on to a very established offense. So you're clearly going to have a role. So whatever role that is, you need to be doing that extremely well, right? Like first round draft picks play. All right. I don't know a lot of first round draft picks outside of quarterbacks that don't play, right? And even those should play. So, you know, you're not a quarterback. You know, you are a receiver in one of the most pass prolific eras in NFL history. So I look at receivers getting drafted now in today's day and age is almost as solidified as getting a lineman almost, right? If like you're going to get a receiver, that's going to be a high utility asset that you're going to be using at all times, especially in the first round. So I'm going to be looking to see it from him. And I think we're going to be able to see something. Like Kyle played receiver. If there is a position, right? He has his third round running back. He has that third round running back saga. But he's played the position. He's coached the position. It's something that he has a quarterback now that he can trust. I'm giving him grace on this one. I want to see what this kid can do because I want to get out of the draft talk. All right, he was a reach. Cool. In the guise of the draft. But now the draft is over. So now let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and I feel like when they drafted him, a lot of people started theorizing, oh, he's here to replace Deebo.
Yeah.
Here to replace Deebo. Like, he might be here in case Ayuk holds out training camp and longer. They may want to install new things that Ayuk won't be here for. Like, Ayuk may not be able to hit the ground running until later on in the season. Who knows how this plays out? The Niners might want to give themselves options here and take some leverage away from Brandon because that's a big leverage piece for Brandon. You want to win the Super Bowl? You want me here, right? I'm your guy. Well, now we have a first round pick playing your position. And we like him. So come back when you're ready.
Can I push back?
Please do.
I don't know about that, Grant. If I'm Brandon and I see like them using like Ricky Pearsall as a dangling carrot as to, all right, we'll move on from you. If I'm Brandon, I'm like, okay.
I'm not saying we'll move on from you, but I'm like, if you want to hold out into the season, go ahead. We'll find you and we'll play this guy and eventually you'll come back.
Yeah.
Unless Ricky's no good. And I guess we'll find out.
But that's the thing.
Like, Brandon Ayuk is giving his potential replacement one hell of an audition.
Do you see it that way? You see Brandon Ayuk handling his contract situation as Ricky Pearsall. Well, okay. Well, if I'm being fair, it's not like Brandon Ayuk is the number one option on the offense anyway. So you could package what Brandon does with Ricky Pearsall and say, hey, look, man, we got somebody. And as a matter of fact, Ricky Pearsall is faster than Brandon Ayuk.
What if Brandon Ayuk sits out all of training camp? Did I lose you?
No. I'm still here with my camera.
Okay.
I got you, bro.
What if Ayuk sits out all of training camp and Ricky Pearsall is great? A huge hit. He's just the hit of training camp. That's not good for Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
No, it's not. It's not. But all right, I'll put it like this. It's not a huge hit for Brandon, but at the same time, like, I feel like BA is really trying to just be validated, not necessarily like rock the apple crate. I think that's the biggest thing too, because he does have a lot of equity with the team, Grant. I don't see BA.
I don't know. It's just all of imagine that. If the Niners had a first round pick last year and drafted a DN, and they're like, all right, Nick, let's keep talking. Like, that's not what they didn't do anything like that, but that's kind of what they did with Brandon. Like, all right, man, like, you're asking for a lot of money and we can keep negotiating. But in the meantime, we got another wide receiver who went to your school and has a similar skill set.
So do you think that's how the Niners are playing with Brandon?
I mean, they didn't play that way with Nick. It would be funny though if Pearsall is just a terrible, like, if he's the next Cam Latu or the next Danny Green, it just doesn't work. I mean, that wouldn't be bad for Brandon.
I just think that that's incredibly ridiculous. Like for them to put that much worth into the kid, they drafted him high and he just hit what, like 1300 yards last season, 1400 yards last season. Like, I don't get it. And honestly, the real connection is that BA and Brock haven't really necessarily been able to like draw that much of a connection because they're doing so much for Debo. I just think that it just makes sense to get rid of Debo or move on from Juwan if it makes too much sense. But if he gets too expensive, but I don't see them using Ricky Pearsall as a bargaining chip to like, you know, leverage BA into, you know, coming off
of come down. It's just a question of how desperate are they? How desperate are they to have Brandon Ayuk come back week one or to be there for the beginning of training camp? I feel Ricky Pearsall could affect that.
Well, I'll say this. They obviously think the world of Brandon because whatever offers they got throughout the draft wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
they don't think enough of him to give him the extension right now and get him into OTAs. Like, that's what the Eagles did with both of their wide receivers. They're taken care of.
Yeah, but both
of them. Ross A. Brown, taken care of. Done.
Okay. Slow down, Cowboy. There's a lot. We got a lot of different business on that offense, too. We got a $17 million a year running back. We got a tight end that we're paying. We got a left tackle that's making over $30 million a year that nobody's talking about that money. All right. So really
the Niners could have did what the other teams did, what the Eagles did, what the Lions did, but instead they drafted a wide receiver in round one. No one else did that. That's a different way to negotiate.
All right. So, I mean, but this,
hey man, if it were me, I wouldn't like that they drafted a wide receiver in round one. If I were Brandon Ayuk, like, what the hell are you doing? Excuse me. I thought I was so important to you.
I don't know. I just think that even if they did, it's like, they didn't really hit the mark. If they, you're really trying to compare.
Brandon says he's a fire pick.
you think, yeah, of course he's a fire pick because he's not threatened by him. I would say that too. Come on, bro. Touché. Like, how many times, how many times do we like graciously like congratulate trolls or people that say things about us is because it's like, it's, I have no choice but to be nice to you because I know I'm better than you. Like, I'm just gonna, so like, BA, what is he gonna say? Oh my God, is that how y'all really feel? Like, if we would have got, if now, if we would have got Xavier Worthy, that would have been something like, BA, you're on notice.
You know, I'm telling you, man, like, both of these guys were in trade discussions the last couple months. If Ricky Pearsall is a huge freaking hit this offseason, it makes one of them expendable. Brandon, Debo, if the Niners want to do that. If Ricky Pearsall's a big bust in training camp, well, then the Niners don't have options. They're going to bring back both two guys and keep them, even if they don't feel like they can afford them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, look, bro, I think that they're going to pay him. They have no choice. They're really trying to move Debo, and if they can, they're going to move Juwan. But I think that I really do believe that they're way past the option of just moving on from Brandon. I think they're not going to move on from him. They're not.
Nah, I don't think they will either.
They're going to pay him.
This is what I'm talking about. This is a Ricky Pearsall topic. I'm just talking about why he's intriguing. You take a round, well, wide receiver in round one, people want to know. And if he's good, yeah, creates options.
All right, but what sucks about that is that he's an option all the way until he has like his first one-on-one practice. And like, if he's mid, it's like, he's not a choice. He's not a bargain anymore. And,
exactly. That's why we want to see it. It's going to be a moment of truth for this guy.
This is one thing that we're going to know is that everybody's going to want to know what you're, that's going to be a fire ass practice report.
Like, we're going to, everybody's going to want to know. You know what, like, this is what I'm trying to say. We're going to see the offense with Ayuk gone and Pearsall in his spot for training camp. If Ayuk holds out, we're gonna see what it looks like. It might look great. It might look awful. It'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, but if it does look great or if it does look awful, it's still training camp. It's gonna be in a vacuum, right? Everybody's gonna put a wet towel on it and calm it down, right? Sure. But it's not gonna be nothing. But it will be
nothing.
It will be something.
It'll be something to talk about. All right, before we got much more to argue about and discuss, but first we got some sleeper picks to break down. We got some games tonight. Are you watching the playoffs? Say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're plugged in.
It's going to be great.
Riven. It's going to be phenomenal. So tonight we got Milwaukee and Indiana. It doesn't seem like Giannis is playing. That's what I noticed when I was watching the game two nights ago. Middleton, Siakam.
I'm betting on history. I'm going Indiana.
We're picking players, dude. Picking players. Chris Middleton, 24 and a half points. I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go more than that because Giannis isn't there. He has to take shots. I mean, if it's not Middleton, what else is, as you know, Milwaukee so well, if Middleton doesn't score, how else are they going to get points, coach?
They're not. That's
they're not.
You can't go to Bella Noche's on a Saturday night. Where did you go?
So definitely 24 and a half. Brooke Lopez, 1.5 threes for Brooke. He had none last game, but three the game before then. If they go as Brooke goes, as we've always said,
as we fall,
the Bucks go as Brooke goes. So today, I think this is a must-win game for the Milwaukee. I think we're going to get a couple threes. Brooke
is going to light it up. He's due.
Brooke's a really good shooter.
Yeah.
That's enough from this game. Now, let's flip over to Knicks 76ers. Jalen Brunson, 33.5 points. He's a good player. Let's see what he's done recently. 47, 30. How can you pick against Jalen? I refuse to.
You're a madman if you do.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's see what we got with Philly. Embiid, is he actually playing? Oh, count services. That's just spam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should probably fix that next time. Embiid. How about less than 30.5 points? He had 50 points. Dang. What do you think? Embiid. Embiid, 30 and a half.
He's going to make it.
Will he stay healthy through the whole game?
He's gonna be healthy for the game. He's going to get hurt at halftime.
Okay.
Then
come back
healthy and finish the game. So he's going to get hurt during halftime, break history, first hurt halftime player ever.
I love it.
Win the game.
And then he'll get 32 points?
32.
Mm-hmm. Let's lock it in.
Five from the locker room.
Yeah. There it is. Those are my sleeper picks for tonight's NBA playoff action. If you want to play, use promo code CONE. Get the deposit match up to $500 on your first deposit. Okay, more storylines for the offseason. Leonard Floyd, a lot depends on Leonard Floyd because he's the guy who needs to produce right now, is expected to produce right now. He's replacing Chase Young. This is the spot the Niners added at the trade deadline. They take the position very seriously. They talked about his consistency. He's had at least 9 sacks 4 seasons in a row. He's going to be 32 this year. Is he still good? If he's not, that's a big problem for the 49ers because they don't really have, unless you think something of Drake Jackson. I guess Drake Jackson is a subtopic here. But I think Leonard Floyd showing that he's still Leonard Floyd would be big. And if he's not, that's even bigger.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, I don't understand exactly where he's going to fit in the long haul of the season. Right now, I know that he's going to be able to be here for what he's worth. You know, I don't want to disrespect the player because I think Leonard Floyd is a really good player. I just think that we're just catching him. On the back end of his career, exactly.
Yeah.
And I would say to that, what exactly are we going to be able to get out of Leonard Floyd when we're really going to need him, which is near the back end of the season, right, in the playoffs? So I don't think that it's necessarily a downgrade as to all of the guys that we've kind of had a hodgepodge of players at that at that opposite end spot of Nick Bosa for quite some time. But for me, I'm just trying to see, how are they going to ingratiate him into the lineup with Matus being behind him? If there is an injury, how are we going to supplant that? What are some of the other guys going to do? Maybe Drake Jackson emerges. Maybe we get something out of Robert Beal. One thing I will say is that it's going to have to be somebody. It's not just going to be those two over at that edge spot. That's why we were all a little surprised. We were all a little bit surprised with the lack of attention to the edge during the draft. So one thing about our defensive line is that they didn't really address it. They didn't really address it in the draft. They picked up some UDFAs, but this is already, in my opinion, this line is a tier below what we went to the Super Bowl with, right? We don't have Eric Armstead with this line. We don't have Javon Kinlaw with this line. And what I want to be able to see is how are we going to be able to help out our $30 million a year man in Nick Bosa? Because really it's all about being able to get him focused and get not focused, but highlighting his skill set to the best as possible. Because I think that was really one of the biggest problems with Coach Wilkes is that some of the stunts and some of the game plans that he had was using Nick Bosa as like pinning and anchoring, but they weren't necessarily getting him loose to be able to be an asset in the pass rush. So we'll see with Leonard Floyd coming in. That's going to be something to really pay attention to.
It'll be fun to see Leonard Floyd one-on-one against Colt McKivitz in training camp. I'm looking forward to that. It'll also be interesting to see, and we'll see this before in like OTAs and minicamp, just how he lines up. How do the 49ers deploy their first team defense? Because I'd be kind of disappointed to see Leonard Floyd starting for them. This is a team that struggled to stop the run last year, and now you're going to put Leonard Floyd at D end. I'd like to see him as like a third down pass rusher. At this point in his career, he's 32 years old. He played like 55% of the snaps last year for the Bills. I don't think he needs to be playing starter snaps for the Niners at this point. He's not an asset against the run. He's definitely an asset on third down. So use them that way. I'm curious to see what they do on first down. What is their starting D-line? It can't be with him on it. Is it with Gross Matos? That would be interesting. I'd like to see what the plan is there. And this is all stuff we'll learn pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, but you got to follow the money. I mean, Gus Matos isn't making nearly as much money as Leonard Floyd right now on the team. I think Leonard Floyd is our starter at edge. That's why for me, I really believed that we were going to do something at edge in the draft, Grant. But right now, Gus Matos is, they're right next to each other. As a matter of fact, Leonard Floyd is getting paid 3.4. Gus Matos is getting paid 3.2. So are they basically going to just by committee that position? Right. So I think you kind of walked us right into it. There really is no starter over there. They're going to try to tag team it. Isn't that, hold on, wait a minute. Isn't that kind of funny that they've kind of been doing this with everything? Instead of getting the DC, they went and got internal guy and then got Brandon Staley. Instead of getting a GM, they went and elevated the two college scout guys to one thing. It was like, instead of replacing Eric Armstead, they went and got, it's almost kind of like they're just giving watered down replacements for more potent guys that we lost. So now, instead of having a real edge on that side, we've got Leonard Floyd and Gus Matos. So I'm starting to see a trend.
Yeah, I that's going to be really interesting to me. Also, I mean, so Gus Matos, what's he going to look like as a pass rusher? Is he an edge rusher? Is he an interior rusher? And then finally, Drake Jackson and Robert Beal. Like, is there anything there? Got to see something from Drake Jackson, year three.
You must see something from Drake Jackson. I mean, this is his swan song. This is it. I mean, he had an entire season to get his body together. Then he came in. He was, I mean, you know, and in certain aspects you feel for the kid because he was very, you could tell that he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very open about his progression. Sometimes he shares things that he doesn't know can be used against him later on. And I do feel like that maybe this is the year that he ties it all together, right? He got his body together last year. And again, I've talked about this before, but he got his body together, but what he did was he got overtrained. He pushed his body to a limit that has never been there before. And then he didn't give himself enough time to recover. And then he pushed himself through an entire camp. And as the season went on, his body gave out on him. Right. Mm-hmm. So finally, I feel like, and this happens with everybody. Remember before Javon was banging at the door with this knee situation. And then what happened? He finally took a full year off, got a chance to recover. And then he came back and showed us what he could do for a full year. The same thing is going to happen with Drake Jackson. So I believe that this year we'll see what Drake Jackson can give us. He's finally gotten a full year to recover, get off his injuries, and then we'll see. So
I think Drake Jackson's in trouble on this team. Here's why.
Talk to me.
I think the person who drafted him, who wanted him, who advocated for him, is gone.
He's gone.
In Washington. Here's why I feel that the person who wanted him is Adam Peters. When Drake Jackson left USC, he was a junior. He just turned 23. Look at the Niners draft class this year. How many juniors did they draft?
One.
So they want guys who are in school 4 or 5 years. He was in school 3 years and left. And I think that'd be more of a pick of a scout or someone who projects ahead. Coaches want guys who are kind of proven. So I don't know. Players like Ambry Thomas, who left early, Drake Jackson, I wonder how much support from the coaching staff they'll have or from the organization they'll have now.
Well, one thing that I can see is that I don't think that they're that bold to just get rid of guys, because even how they drafted, they tried to draft like Adam Peters did in before, but had done in past, but they just I feel like they doubled down on the culture or the nucleus that they had, but they didn't necessarily get better. I didn't think that this was like a forward thinking draft. I thought that this was like a Band-Aid draft where they just patched a lot of holes that they think that they needed. But and you know, the only thing that I saw that represented like future for our draft was the acquisition of Malik Mustafa and Rinaldo Green. And Rinaldo Green was a little bit of a reach for where we got him for. But I think even them the only thing that really guides them is the financial implications on what players can do to their team, right? So they had to get corners because they know that right now they're basically going to have no corners due to free agency next year, and they're going to at least lose one, be it Mooney Ward. This is probably his last year here. And they also know that they do not have a free safety. So I thought that those were the two positions of like serious need that they got, but I don't really see anybody else that they got in the draft that really says that they were actually thinking about the future and trying to get the team better versus this is going to be something that we're going to get to lock in for what we already have to keep us pushing just in case some things, you know, get hairy on us when, you know, we have to be able to sign the rest of these guys. So, you know, it wasn't a necessarily like horrible draft. I don't think it was anything along those lines. It wasn't horrible, but you could see that they weren't thinking. I feel like they were reacting. There wasn't a lot of proactive moves.
Papa Phil says, who's more important in the future, B.A. or Bosa?
B.A.
Bosa. They don't pass the ball. They don't.
They need to.
They
do. And when they get in trouble, what do?
They pass to Juwan Zanning.
They pass the ball.
Not to Brandon.
Yeah, they need to.
Yeah, they do. Jeff Caravella says, Grant, have you ever asked Kyle directly, where is timid approach to O-line investment coming from? Yeah, I also asked him directly why he stopped running the ball in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. He said he didn't. I feel like Kyle's, when you ask him questions like that, he'll be like, well, I drafted Aaron Banks, drafted Mike McGlinchey, drafted Colton Kivitz. He won't agree with the premise. We love drafting offensive line. We always want to draft offensive line. Just, you know, it's how the board breaks to you.
Offensive line is hard to move. It's hard to move them because you owe them the money. Once they're good, you got to pay them, right? When's the last time you heard offensive linemen holding out? You don't hear about it. You don't hear about offensive linemen holding out, skipping camp, not showing up. Like, offensive linemen get paid. It's like either you can do the job or you can't. And I feel like with them, they always want to keep that job or that skill set in the developmental trajectory because they know that they can underpay for that skill set. They know that they can underpay for it.
NG49 says, Kyle King is zigging when he's supposed to zag. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, look at what they did in the first round. They clearly wanted a receiver. They didn't get the guy that they wanted. They should have traded back or got the offensive lineman that they needed. But they're not into offensive line, so even do better. Go get the D tackle, right?
I think
they
wanted Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, no, they didn't want Xavier Worthy. He's not big enough. He can't block. They drafted Jacob Cowing, who's smaller than Xavier Worthy. So
come on,
I think
man.
They wanted Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
And if they didn't want Xavier Worthy, then why did the Chiefs trade up?
Exactly. And if they didn't want a receiver, then why did they reach at 31? Yep. So you know they wanted a receiver.
I think they wanted Xavier Worthy. Papa Phil says, when was the first kicker picked? Sixth round? I don't know. This year? Guy from Stanford? I forget.
I got it.
Okay, last topic. Not a player, but I'm curious to see if there's a Super Bowl hangover. There's something about losing the NFC Championship game that kind of galvanizes a team. They lost in the NFC Championship game last year to the Eagles, and they were like so locked in and focused. You see it a lot with teams. Like, we're one game away. Let's give it our all year, and then losing the Super Bowl is different. People talk about the emotional toll it takes on you and the physical toll because your offseason is 2 weeks shorter than everyone else's. But I want to see if they just come out flat this offseason. Ayuk might not be there. He's kind of a tone setter for these practices. Kittle's old. He doesn't practice as much. Trent doesn't practice. Does McCaffrey practice? Like, who's practicing? how important are these OTAs, right? Because they're optional.
Who's practicing?
Who the hell is actually practicing? They're optional. It's an older team. They're coming off a brutal Super Bowl loss. Ayuk probably won't be there. Who's there? Who really shows up? I want to know. Brock will.
Well, you know, Brock is going to show up. All of the young guys are going to show up because they're trying to get their way, make their way through.
What second contract guy is going to show up like he wants it? What combo kid guy is going to show up?
Okay, that's a very good question. I would expect. Wow, Fred. He's not necessarily combo.
Hell yeah,
Fred. And Fred is a professional. Nick Bosa is always going to come in shape. He's going to be professional. Brandon Ayuk, he's just never done it. I think that he's got – it would just be an affront to his professionalism. B.A. is going to come to camp.
How about Debo? Is Debo going to be in shape?
Jesus Christ. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know. We'll see on
full offseason of Nick Bosa, dude. They paid you a bajillion dollars. Now you got to be at every practice. You weren't at any of them last year. Go be a leader. Be a captain.
You know who needs to show up to kind of show that it wasn't a fluke? Diamador Lenore needs to show up even better than he did last year because he did an amazing job. But it's still, it's like, I need more cowbell, bro. Like, you got to be able to come through and show that last year wasn't a fluke. This is consistently how you are. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see that. You know who else kind of everybody's looking at him a little bit? Huff. You've been gone, man. We got to see what you're going to do coming back. They got him a new safety, Malik. And this dude is, I mean, on tape, I was more impressed with Malik on tape than I was when I first saw Huff. So
I wouldn't expect Huff back before training camp. I wouldn't expect Tre'Veris Ward back before training camp. Kittle, Trent Williams, are any of these guys going to show up in OTAs? OTAs could be a pretty light practice.
I think Christian would show up.
He'll be there.
None of them are going to practice.
I don't know.
Trent's not going to practice.
They kind of limped into the season last year. They weren't good in training camp. They had a terrible joint practice against the Raiders. We were worried about them. They didn't look good in preseason, and then everything was fine.
They turned it on.
They turned it on. Can they do it again this year? We will find the heck out soon enough. I love off-season practices. Hey, maybe people think they don't matter, but I think they do. Huh?
Who do we have joint practices with this year? Do you know?
I don't know. Okay. I hope it's the Chargers. Could it please be the Chargers?
Oh, that'd be fire.
I want it to be the Chargers.
Yeah. Get to see Jimbo.
I mean, that's the most convenient.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Did we play the Raiders? Oh, no, who do we have in preseason? That always goes because whoever we have the practices with is who we end off the week with in preseason. That's the way it works, right?
Yeah, I guess we'll find out when
the preseason schedule comes out.
When the schedule comes out next week.
Yeah, then we'll know for sure. That'd be dope.
Yep.
But really what it is that I feel like the theme of this show and the theme of the team, honestly, is self-motivation. Like, you've lost the Super Bowl. Nobody is checking for you right now, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be talking about the hottest teams that are really ready to come back or the Chiefs. And really, I like this. This is kind of like, in a way, nobody's really going to be checking for us. Nobody's going to be bothering us. Nobody's going to be caring what the Niners are going to be doing this offseason. This could really bounce in our favor if the boys come back in shape and focused.
Yeah, I want to see it because last year, again, they had something to prove. They kept saying on the record, we got screwed. And they went set out to prove it. And they almost did. They can't say that this year. They can't say they got screwed or they didn't have a fair chance or if only this person or that person is like, you had your chance. You were up late twice and you lost. So what do you rally around now? It's the same group of guys that hasn't gotten it done, getting older. What propels them forward this time?
There's no narrative now. Like, you know what I mean? There's no slogan this year. Now it's got to come like straight from the fire now. They just got to pull it out. And it's about who you are as far as your culture is concerned. And do you guys really want this or not? Because now I feel like we'll really see what this team is about because nobody's really singing their praises now. Let's see.
Also, I feel like if they're ever going to get over the hump, it's going to be because of someone young on the team. This core, including Kyle, let's call it the Cabo Click, has been together like 5 years. They haven't gotten it done, and they're getting older. They haven't gotten it done, and they're getting older. If they're going to get over the hump, it's going to be because of someone like Brock or Lenore or Jair Brown. Or
they got to pivot. Crystal.
It's going to be someone new who comes out of nowhere and is a freaking stud. So we'll find out. That's what these practices are about.
Yeah. We're going to be able to see who emerges, too. You know, a lot of guys like to look at the culture that we have with the Niners and kind of either assimilate or add on, right? I feel like guys who assimilate usually don't necessarily hang around that long. You've got to be able to add on to the culture here to be a part of it. So I feel like I want to see if Ricky Purcell is going to be a guy where he's just happy with his role, or if is he out here trying to embarrass people? Like Brandon Ayuk, for lack of for what you want to talk about with Brandon Ayuk, Brandon Ayuk punched Fred Davis in the face during camp, mm-hmm. letting him know, like, I'm coming in here to set my own standard and I'm not asking for respect. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see from like the guys here, because you know, this is a young man's sport. And these guys are getting older, and we need some younger guys. We need some new blood.
One or two rookies who are really good can propel you. I mean, look what Puka Nacua did for the Rams. Look what Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta did for the Lions. I mean, mm-hmm. if the Niners don't have one of these guys, who knows what Marvin Harrison Jr. could do for the Cardinals? You just don't know. Some of these teams go from worst to first quickly in the NFL. So the Niners need some guys like that. Historically, they've gotten guys like that. I mean, the reason Kyle Shanahan hasn't been fired is because they got freaking Brock Purdy. And he's like the biggest success story in sports. So we'll see what they got. Minicamp next week. Coach, good stuff. Good to have you back.
Thanks, brother.
You were back last week.
That was back.
I'll see you guys. Bye. Have a good one.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.